Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Jordan Garber Now here on VOCNation.com. Yes, this show is on fire. This show is making headlines. This show is all over the wrestling press on the internet. And we're going to continue to do that with our next guest, and that is none other than former WWE referee, well-traveled referee, well-respected in the business, none other than Justin King. Justin, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be on Jordan Garber Now tonight. You know, I used to be a referee as well. I've had the honor to referee some great matches down in Saskatchewan. I refereed a few, and it was kind of a good experience for me. So I thought, you know, looking a year or so later from that awesome experience that I had, I thought, let's talk to someone who's done it all in the business as a professional referee and learn his perspective. That way, all the referees listening to this program are going to continue to learn and develop and grow as referees, and that's all we pretty much want. Getting started in the business, like, did you just get a crasher course and ref a few matches, or did you go to a training school? If so, how was that whole experience for you? How did it all begin for you?
I met Chad Patton and Jack Doan. Jack Doan's a former WWE referee, and Chad Patton is still currently with WWE. I met them when I was 12, and I have an identical twin brother. I'm sure all you know that now. And me and him, we were just big fans. We used to go to Peoria Civic Center in Peoria, Illinois. We would watch the shows all the time, and we never were big kids growing up. We were very, very, very small, so we never knew a way to get into wrestling. But then when we met them, we were like, okay, we'll be referees. And from 12 years old on, we just kind of started to watch it every single week, and we bought all the tapes. And my mom was very good about making sure we had all the resources we needed. I never did go to a training school. I never paid to be trained. I never spent any money out of pocket to be trained. I was very lucky and blessed to just kind of know it. You know, we saw a guy at our local mall in 2006, and he had a promotion called New Breed Wrestling Alliance in Danville, Illinois, and he had no referees, and me and my brother saw him with championship belts, and at that time, we're big, huge fans, so we screamed when we saw the belts. I know it sounded kind of corny, but it was true, and he says, why don't you come on, and we got some referee shirts, and that was how we started.
So I'm kind of guessing it was like a similar way for – sorry, go ahead.
It was just one of those things where we're kind of right place, right time, you know?
Definitely. And kind of to relate as well, was it kind of the same way for you as it was for me kind of getting my start as a referee? Was it just, okay, here's this match. You have two wrestlers. Here's the match. Here you go. He'll give you a crasher course before the show, and you're good to go. Was it kind of just like that? And then after the more wrestling you watched and the more shows you went to, you kind of learned along the way and working more matches. That's kind of how it worked for you in the start. And correct me if I'm wrong, but is that correct?
No, that's absolutely correct. The first show that me and my twin brother did was here where I live now in my hometown of Rantoul, Illinois. It's no bigger than it's like 12,000 people. And he just happened to have a show, and he said, come on out, and you guys can show me what you have. And, you know, then we had another show, like, literally the same day in a different town. So we did a double shot on the same day. And it was August 19th of 2006. I'll never forget it. And that was just kind of how it happened. The more we did it, the better we got. And, you know, you take advice from those two referees from the WWE. I took advice from them. They remained good friends all the way up until I got into WWE, and even after now, they're still good friends of mine. But they would give me advice. They never trained me, but they would tell me what was wrong and what was right. And they actually came to one show and watched me and my brother, and then they were able to point out everything we did wrong, and we fixed that. And you know, as time went on, I started to work different states, and I think I was a year in the business, and I was working 10 states.
Wow. So kind of – was it kind of interesting for you kind of going to work in 10 states? Being for someone like me, I personally like being on the road. I've been very honored to be on the road as well and have different experiences. Not going really far, but for me being from Winnipeg, I'm going as far down as the Midwest and seeing different things. For you, going to 10 different states and getting all that exposure early – Did you kind of see that to your advantage, and did you enjoy those experiences that you had?
I did, and at that time, I thought, you know, I lived a very not poor lifestyle, but I lived outside of my means at that time. But I thought, you know, the more experience I get, the more matches I have, the easier this is going to be for me because I hadn't been trained. And I would get in the car and literally drive 10 hours, work a show, drive 10 hours back, and go to work the next day. You know, it's just dedication. And I dedicated myself to what I wanted to do. And I always told my mom, at 12 years old, I told my mom I was going to be a WWE referee, and that was my goal. And, you know, I wanted to make my mom proud, and that was an achieving moment for me. It really, really was.
Before getting signed by WWE, we're going to ask that right up next. Who kind of taught you the most on that independent level before reaching the WWE? Who's one of those guys, if you could choose one or two of the boys, who taught you the most about refereeing and helping you gain all that experience? Who are some of those guys that you could mention that kind of helped you along the way to your journey?
Well, the thing is, I never worked with any popular guys. I never worked with big names until 2007, right before I would go on to start trying to get into WWE. But the guys that I learned from would be a guy named Dave Cervasis. He let me manage. That's how I got to the managing, and I was reffing and managing at the same time, so he let me have a platform. A guy named TJ Lightson, that was the guy from New Breed. Dave had a group called SLW with Supreme League of Wrestling in Mattoon, Illinois. New Breed was out of Danville. And there was a guy named Richard Neely, and I don't want to forget him, but he was the first guy that I ever had, like, a chop from and learned the way to do things. And these guys were not big names. You know, I never got that opportunity to work in front of big names. I did work one show with Spike Dudley in 2007, and I didn't talk to him because I was too nervous to talk to him. So I hadn't met that many big names, you know, until I did a match for Burt Prentice in 2007, November. And it was Eugene versus Daivari, and both of them were recently released from WWE, and I had a main event match with them. He kind of called me last minute to come down and do the show, and it was a seven-hour drive. And it was a four-hour drive to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. And I did this match, and there was no pay in it, but, you know, it was experience. I was grateful for Burt Prentice for that because I took my first, like, real wrestling bumps from Eugene and Daivari, and I learned how to command a match from those two. So if I can credit anybody that's from WWE past, yeah, I would say it would be Eugene and Daivari, Sean Daivari. So.
Indeed. Well, it's great because I heard lots of stories about Daivari, and he's still active on the scene. He actually has the new school in Minneapolis along with Ken Anderson, so it's definitely going to be awesome for those future referees or wrestlers breaking into the business to be going to that academy in the Minneapolis area and definitely going to be learning a lot. Now, the big moment for you, getting signed by WWE, finding out that you were signed by WWE was kind of your moment at the exact time. You know, you've been dreaming of this as a kid. You've been on quite a journey on the independence prior to the signing. So what was kind of going through your mind during that whole time period?
I called for 30 straight days to WWE headquarters. I left messages and things like that. It was in 2008 in June. And at the end of the year, or at the end of the month, excuse me, my birthday was June 28th. I got a call. I called on June 29th, and I got an answer. And they asked me to send my stuff up to them, and I did. And at that time, I was working with Tyler Black, which is now Seth Rollins. And I worked with him quite a bit. So when he was Tyler Black on the independent scene, me and him had worked together for so long at that point. I actually sent a match of him and another guy, Shane Hollister, to WWE. And I sent a montage video of me and my twin brother. And they gave me an audition for Chicago, Illinois, and Moline, Illinois, and I was living in Moline, Illinois at the time, so it was like in my backyard. And I went down on August 18th. I did Chicago Raw, And I had like a little cameo with Batista as he was walking past the backstage area. And the next day, they put me in the ring with Evan Bourne, Mike Seidel, and a guy named Mike Toller that many people don't know about. He was a great worker. He never really got signed, I don't think, but he was a great worker, and he had several extra spots. So I did a two-minute match with those guys, and I had all the big names at the ring with me. And I don't know why. I don't know if it was just because it was me or if they were expecting it or what it was, but I had Undertaker at the ring. I had Dean Malenko and Arn Anderson. I had Hunter standing out there, and there were so many people standing out there. And I did about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, and then they told me to get out the ring, and that was it. I sat for 9 hours, and at the end of the night, I thanked, at the time, John Laurinaitis was in charge. I thanked John Laurinaitis for the opportunity, and he told me to hold still for a second, and right before I was getting ready to leave, he offered me a contract on the spot, and the rest was history. August 19th, 2 years to the day that I started in the business, I got signed with WWE.
That's impressive, too, being in the business for 2 years prior to getting that WWE tryout. And you know what? I guess it's a huge asset for you for even being in the business 2 years before getting the call to the show, getting all that experience on the independents all the time. So that bringing that knowledge there and having your experiences in the WWE, what were some of your favorite people, workers to work with there? Who gave you some of the best feedback?
Well, are we talking FCW or are we talking WWE?
Let's start with developmental, and then after that, if you wish to, you can talk about some of the WWE guys that taught you a lot there.
Sure.
As well.
So when I got down to Florida, it was still integrating between OVW and Deep South, and everybody had moved down to Florida. And the very first person that I met when I got down there was a guy named John Cutler, and I'm sure you're familiar with John Cutler.
Sure am.
He's from Winnipeg. Okay, well, John Cutler is one of my best friends in the world, and I met with him, and I met with a guy named David Otunga. The three of us became really good friends. We were all brand new at it, and I looked up to them, and I love John Cutler, and I love David so much. You know, they're great friends of mine. But as far as a business standpoint, from who had the most to give, I would have to say at that time, Colt Cabana was there. He did a great job. He was very big on that. Sheamus was shaping into being a top star. And at the time, it was called, I want to say, the Empire, and it was Stu Bennett, which is Wade Barrett, and Drew McIntyre. And they were fantastic. Tarver, Michael Tarver, was another one at that time. He was very big on the roster. And Eric Escobar. So those were the guys that were leading the way for us at that point. I looked up to them, and they gave me some of my best matches. Also, one more person I don't want to forget is Tyler Rex and Trent Beretta. Because that was my very first match in the WWE, period. So those two guys were my very first match. And it was a learning experience, but I learned so much from Steve Kern, Tom Pritchard, Norman Smiley, and Billy Kidman. The greatest group of teachers that you can have, because they're going to tell you what you need to know, be straightforward about it. You know, sometimes they hurt your feelings, but they're hurting your feelings because they want you to be the best. And you just take what you get from them. If you absorb it, then you get where you need to be. And I absorbed it within 8 months, because within 8 months I was on the roster full-time.
And getting on the roster full-time, you know, having lots of moments in the WWE for yourself as a referee, before we talk about some of the favorite matches that you worked there, on Raw and SmackDown, let's talk about kind of, once again, I'm kind of going to repeat the same question, but getting called up to the main roster now realizing you have officially fulfilled your dream, you're on the main roster. How did that go for you? And who was your first match on the main roster, by the way? Was it Beretta and Rex, or were you referring to developmental? When it comes to that,
I was referring to developmental at that point. My very first match.
Okay.
I'll give you my very first dark match was Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, Orlando, Florida, July 13, 2009. And then I did my Raw debut that same exact day. My very first day on the road, I debuted. And my very first match was Big Show versus Evan Bourne.
And kind of so, going in from that match, you know, you're – sorry, go ahead. My apologies. Bad connection.
Well, no, so yeah, like, they kind of threw me to the wolves, you know, but they knew I could do it. And they put me pre-main, and it was when Kofi and Evan were together. And Big Show was a big heel at that time. And I just remember going out there and being scared to death in Orlando. And I remember they saying, I thought that I was just going to do the dark match. Because, you know, most times when you go into WWE, you don't debut right off the bat. When they told me that I was working with Big Show and Evan Bourne, I was nervous. I can't lie. But it was the greatest experience of my life. I was lucky enough to have my then ex, my then girlfriend with me, and I was very happy to have my family watching, and it was a great day. It was a really great day.
Indeed. Of all time, within your run with the company, what were some of your favorite matches that you called up in WWE? Or not called, but that you repped. Sorry, my apologies.
It's okay. One of my greatest matches that I did personally was I got a couple, so I'll just ramble them off real quick for you. I loved working with Lay Cool, Michelle McCool, and Layla. I did the retirement match for Michelle McCool. I was lucky enough to be asked to do that match, and it was Layla versus Michelle McCool, and then that's when, you know, Awesome Kong comes out and drops Michelle McCool, and I just remember that being a really amazing moment because Layla and Michelle were best friends, and both of them were crying in the ring, and it was just a touching moment. I'll never forget that one. Another great match that I had was Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler, Bragging Rights 2010. I was the first match on the card, and it was one of the greatest matches. If you get a chance, check that match out. It was right after I got back from my surgery, so it was my first, like, pay-per-view match, and it was fantastic. And, of course, my first WrestleMania moment is always going to be one that sticks with me, and that was the Core versus Big Show, Kane, Santino, and Kofi. And the crazy part is my very first SmackDown match was with Kane. My very first Raw match was with Big Show, and they were my very first WrestleMania match, too, so... That was a big moment for me. And then my last match that I think that I was really like, oh, my God, this is a great moment, was Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre on Raw.
Excellent. And definitely a huge window of great experiences that it's been grateful. I've been grateful that you've been sharing them with us here on Jordan Garber Now. Yes, you guys are listening to Jordan Garber Now here on VOCNation.com. We are here with former WWE referee Justin King. He's telling great stories, and, you know, for all the referees that are trying to get into the business, it is best for you to listen and get the best feedback possible and learn so much, because this is what Jordan Garber Now is about. We want to kind of educate people about the wrestling business as well as entertain the fans. Leading up to having all those experiences in WWE, on unfortunate things took a toll, and then you had an injury, which eventually led to your WWE release. What was kind of going through your mind at that time, you know, were things starting to get a little rougher, or were you trying to stay as positive as you could during that time frame?
I got injured on January of 2010, and I have been on the road for 6 months straight, every single week, 5 days a week, 4 days a week. I was a hot commodity for WWE. I was a hard worker. And then my life just stopped. Just down at FCW, I just gotten off the road from a 3-day stint. And they wanted us to put up a banner, and I had put up so many banners at FCW, and the banner fell, and I fell. And I broke my foot off my leg. So it was a devastating blow to my career. And that was a dark time for me. I mean, I could say that I was positive during the whole thing, but I really wasn't. So I just kept thinking to myself, why me, you know? But I will say this about WWE and what most people don't know, that during that time, they were the greatest people to me. They took care of me. You know, they checked on me. They made me feel like I was still a part of the team. And They sent me so many get well wishes, and every person on the roster signed a get well Bones. They call me Bones in WWE. They signed a get well Bones card from Raw and SmackDown. I got every signature you can think of, and Undertaker and Hunter and Shawn Michaels and you name it. They're just outpouring respect for these guys that they did for me. And I was out for, 6 months. I did 3 surgeries, and then I was out for 6 months. And then I came back, and I pushed myself too hard. And I think we both were just hoping that I would come back, and I was trying to fast forward, and they were fast forwarding, and one thing led to another, and I was just injured after injury, and you know, ultimately, it got to be too much, and I became more of a liability than a help at that point. So that was a dark time in my life.
Indeed, but you know, going from dark times to good times, you have. Currently, you are managing in Resistance Pro Wrestling, working with the Cobra. I love the gimmick. Tell me how this whole thing came about and how you're enjoying it over there so far.
So in 2006, before I got into WWE, I was doing the manager and referee gimmick, and I used to work for a group called Dangerous by Design. And it was me, it was the Cobra, a guy named Hassan Adiv, Dangerous Drew Thomas, and then my twin brother was a wrestler at the time, so him and his tag team partner were with me as well. His name is Mario, but they went by JT Rain and Cyclone. They were called a team together in Forces of Nature is what they were called, and I had all those guys with me, and I was managing as well as reffing, and me and the Cobra have always stuck together. Calvin is my best friend in the world when it comes to business. And so in 2006 and 2007, I was with him until I signed with WWE. So once I got out of WWE, I took about, I'd say about 2 years off where I didn't do anything. And then the opportunity came from Resistance Pro with Billy Corgan. And he had hired my twin brother to be his head referee. And he asked me what I wanted to do in the company because he wanted me as soon as, you know, once things were done with WWE, he asked me what I wanted to do. And I told him I really didn't want to ref. I wanted to manage. And he said, manage who? And I said, Cobra. And he said, why? And I told him, I said, just put me with Cobra and you'll see why. So what we think of as a group, me and him, is Cobra is the champion right now, the heavyweight champion. Cobra are champions together. There's no one person is better than the other. King Cobra is a dynasty. It's something that we put together. Never have you seen a manager and a wrestler say that they're one, you know what I mean? So the concept is I'm always going to be champion when Cobra's champion. When Cobra loses, I lose. There is no my guy lost. No, we lost. As a team, we lost. I consider us a team, but Cobra's the man that gets the job done.
Definitely. Sounds excellent. Sounds grand. Sorry. And it looks like you guys have definitely been doing so as of late. Coming from one great experience from your career to another, the Great Khali, he has this promotion up in India, and as many people know, India's in the past, like, it had wrestling around, but it wasn't as big as it is, obviously, in the United States and Canada. Going to CWE in India, seeing a growing market happen at your very eyes, what was that experience like? How was, like, everything, life in India like, reffing up there like, in general, how was that overall experience? I'm guessing it was quite different for you.
So, Khali is the greatest person I know. I drove him around in WWE. You know, Khali, I'd always have people drive for him. He's kind of big, so he can't drive. But I was driving him around in WWE, and so whenever his situation happened, where CWE happened, I got a call from my really good friend, Jesus Rodriguez, you know, Ricardo. And
indeed,
he asked me if I wanted to come. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying indeed, as in you bringing up Ricardo.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. He's a great, great guy, one of my best friends in the world. And he asked me if I wanted to be a part of something big. And at that time, I didn't know what he meant. But on Christmas Day, they asked me to come to India. So it was a Christmas present to me, And I went down in February. I went down February of 2016, and we had some monumental shows. And I can tell you this right now, there is no other wrestling company independently, or for that matter, any company that can pull 50 to 60,000 in a show, except for WWE, and Kali's doing it. I mean, every single show. The first show was 26,000. The second show was 57,000 plus. The third show was at least 40,000. You know, excuse me, 10,000 were pouring rain. It was pouring rain, but we had 40,000 sold. So, you know, and then this last time we went in October, we had one show and it was 45,000 plus. So Kali's doing great things, and it's an experience that you will never, ever be able to really tell people unless you experience it. From the people on the streets to the parades that we do parades, and we shut streets down, and they just want the pictures, and they want to be a part of it, and it's such a big deal, and Kali's got such a great vision, and you know who Brody still is, I'm sure.
Certainly.
Okay, well, Brody Steele is the greatest mind in the business for a heel that I've seen in a long time, non-WWE. I absolutely respect this man, look up to this man. He is leading the way. And when you are on TV for two straight weeks because Kali got his head busted open and you got people that are having protests against Brody Steele, that's saying something. The Indian fans were protesting Brody Steele. So it's a big deal, and it's working. And Kali's got a great mind. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And I'm the only referee that goes over. We have an Indian referee.
Well, if you're
myself.
Drawing, and for you, if you're on a show that's drawing 40,000, 50,000 in a market that doesn't have a history of very limited opportunity in the past, but now that Kali is bringing CWE to India, it's very interesting because that's spreading the word of pro wrestling. That's what we need. And bringing that to India, man, that is huge. And that's going to make India a huge market, which is going to help influence those other markets. So that is a huge deal. And anyone that goes down there is definitely accomplished. And you are one of the guys that went down there. So congrats to you. We have 2 minutes left on the program. We're going to wrap this up really quickly. Two final things I want to ask. Global Force Wrestling, and congrats to your brother, Robert King, who's had some, he got some exposure recently. He's now with TNA. He's a referee there. We got 2 minutes. Tell us, in a nutshell, your experiences with Global Force, and just a comment for your brother, who's maintaining lots of success right now, and what's up with you, and any plugs, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll be good to go.
Okay, well, Global Force Wrestling, I've been working with Jeff Jarrett quite a bit since 2015. I really respect him, and he's been very grateful to me. I've been grateful for him giving me the opportunity because that's what broke me back into refereeing. Global Force does partner up with a lot of people, and I do shows with them maybe every couple months, and I'm very happy with the process of Global Force, and I hope big things happen for Jeff Jarrett because he's an amazing guy. As far as my brother goes, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, to see my brother flourish. Robert King is the hardest working referee in this business. I can tell you that for 10 years, he clawed, you know, and fought. WWE didn't want him when I was there. We tried, and they didn't want him. So, you know, kudos to him for continuing to do what he did, and now he's on TNA, and he's doing great things. He's had a spot with Bobby Lashley that was fantastic in the main event, and he's really just carrying the King legacy on, and I'm grateful for my brother. I love my brother to death, and, you know, he's my best friend in the world, and I wish him all the success, and maybe one day I'll be in TNA. Who knows? But you can look me up on I'll just plug myself real quick, and thank you for having me. This has been a fantastic interview. You can look me up, Justin King, on Facebook. I also am in on the Instagram at Shad, S-H-A-D, underscore T-A-L-L-Y. And for my Twitter, it is at RealJustinKing1. And I look forward to branching out. I hope to get to Canada a lot more than what I have been. And Thank you so much for having me. This has been fantastic.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Mr. King, for being on Jordan Garber Now on VOCNation.com. Hopefully we'll get you on again very soon, and thank you once again for taking the time to be on today. You have yourself a great night.
You too. Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much. That was none other than Justin King, former WWE referee, speaking his mind and telling great stories here on Jordan Garber Now on VOCNation.com. All of you guys have a great night.